Squatch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss research that's been done at the University of Nebraska looking at methane production in cattle. And to talk about this topic, I'm joined today by two researchers, Dr. Kiara O'Reilly, as well as Dr. Matt Spangler, who are both part of the Animal Science Department at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, well, it's certainly our pleasure, Aaron.
Before we dive into today's topic, if you don't mind, give us just a brief background of each of you in terms of where you are now and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, well, I'm currently a professor of animal genetics and the Extension Beef Genetics Specialist here in the Animal Science Department in Lincoln. And I've had a pleasure of serving in this role since I began, Aaron, in 2008. For those that know me know that I come from a farm and ranch in Kansas, and so beef industry has always been near and dear to my heart, and it's truly a pleasure to be able to work with producers, not only here in Nebraska, but across the country.
Thanks, Aaron. Nice to join you today. My name is Kiara O'Reilly. I am a ruminant nutritionist assistant professor here at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. I started back in 2024, teaching and research appointments. My PhD focused on biological factors influencing feed efficiency and looking at ways to mitigate methane emissions. And that is what my research has continued on here in beef cattle, looking at individual animal requirements and ways to reduce methane emissions. So really great to join you today.
Well, I do appreciate both of you joining me. And also, as we move into our topic now, focused on understanding what has been done at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in terms of methane research with beef cattle. You both are part of a major grant, the National Institute of Food and Agricultural Grant, a $5 million grant that's going to really go deeper into some of the research that's prior been done. But before we dive into kind of the focus going forward on research, tell us about what has happened historically with methane research at the University of Nebraska. Some folks may not know just the breadth of what has already taken place.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Of course, we're very keen on talking about the relatively new sources of funding that you mentioned, but the work in what I call the methane trait complex really is been going on for some time. And we have a fairly large footprint, if you will, working in areas related to methane mitigation, be it nutrition and management, genetics, or even newer aspects, the microbiome. And Dr. O'Reilly here with me has done a lot of the work relative to nutrition and management, and I'll let her share a little bit about what they've done.
Thanks, Matt. So yes, from a nutrition standpoint, there are multiple ways that we can reduce methane emissions, either through diet formulation, different management strategies, or the use of feed additives. And since about 2012, dairy side has been measuring methane emissions using head boxes, so a method called indirect calorimetry, and then looking at energy and methane emissions in dairy cow rations and how we can use feeding strategies to manipulate those emissions. And then since about 2014, the beef side's been doing that. So some of the research we've done from both the dairy and the beef side is using a seaweed compound, and the active compound within that is bromoform. And what bromoform does is it disrupts the enzymatic pathway of methanogenesis. And we found that it reduces methane by up to about 63% in cattle. However, there are gaps that require more research in that. And there are limitations with using this additive, such as it's challenging to grow in commercial environments and not currently approved to be fed to beef cattle. There are other additives that inhibit methanogenesis, such as 3-NOP, and that is traded as Bovaer by Elanco. Again, that is approved for dairy, but not yet for beef. So other dietary strategies that we have looked at UNL is using rumen environment modifiers. So we can modify that rumen environment to then have lower methane production. And some of the things we've looked at is tannins and nitrates and sulfates. When we spoke a little earlier about diet formulation, we can alter the way we formulate diets by changing things such as a forage to concentrate ratio. So how much forage we have in that diet versus how much grain. We can look at different forage qualities, which has been done previously. And then the addition of maybe things like supplemental fats So a study was done in beef cattle that looked at adding fats. And when we add fats to diets, dietary fats, we reduce methane by about 5.6% for every 1% of added fat in the ration. But again, limitations to that. We do have to make sure that we do not exceed the amounts of supplemental fats that may actually inhibit that animal performance. And then one of the main drivers of methane emissions is feed intake. So the more cattle eat, the more methane they're going to produce. There's more organic matter within that rumen to ferment. So one of the other strategies we've looked at UNL is restricting cattle to about 75% of their intake. And that was found to reduce methane emissions by up to about 19%. So those are just a couple of the dietary strategies that we have looked at. And then from both the dairy and a beef side, feed additives and looking at how we manipulate that diet formulation and management is currently ongoing.
You mentioned some work also looking at the microbiome and trying to understand what's happening with that population of rumen microbes, how that may impact change what happens in terms of methane production. Speak to that a little bit in terms of the work that has been done and how we might think about that as a opportunity to address this.
Yeah, so the microbiome can really be thought of as this entire ecosystem in the rumen. And you mentioned bacteria, and that's largely what we focus on, but there's more than just bacteria in the rumen. And I simplistically often think about it as we feed the microbiome, and the microbiome in turn feeds the animals. There's been a lot of work at UNL really over the past decade looking at the microbiome and its relationship with a lot of economically relevant traits in beef cattle. And one that's very much related to methane would be dry matter intake. And Kiara mentioned the relationship between methane and dry matter intake. So I think it makes sense to think about the microbiome's impact on some of these related traits. And work that we've done at UNL over the past several years shows that the microbiome, in addition to things like a dietary regime, and in addition to things like genetics, can explain a sizable fraction of the differences in how much animals eat. In fact, some research that we've recently published shows that the microbiome can explain upwards of 20% of the differences among animals for how much they eat. And our belief is that this would transfer to differences in methane production as well.
So one of the things you bring up, I think, is a challenge in my mind as we think about this. A lot of the work's been done looking at, cattle on a consistent diet where you can measure the methane production, looking at feed additives that can easily be delivered into a ration. But upwards of 75% of beef production comes from forage. How do we think about that going forward as we think about trying to understand the microbiome, understand animal genetics, feed intake, and methane production on grazing cattle?
I think that's a really good question. And as you alluded to, it's a complex problem. A lot of the work on really feed intake and certainly now methane has been focused on growing animals. And the reason is because it's easier. It is easier to measure those things, which are often very expensive to measure. It's easier to measure them on growing animal in some kind of confined or semi-confined environment. But grazing animals very much are important, as you suggested. There are parallel grant efforts, and one of them, funded by the Global Methane Hub that we're a part of here at the University of Nebraska, will have a focus not only on growing animals, but also grazing animals. And one of the chief reasons why we would be interested in grazing animals is not only because of the impact they have on all of beef production, but also because if we can get an estimate of methane output on grazing animals, that gets us a lot closer to being able to predict how much they're actually eating when they're out in extensive production environments and actually grazing. And if I think about genetic selection, one of the large gaps we have in the tools available to beef cattle producers is something to actually select for cow efficiency. The best indicator we have is mature cow weight, and we know that's imperfect. So I think anything we can do to try to get us closer to being able to predict how much cows are actually eating would be very beneficial for the entire cattle industry.
What's going to be the process to go forward to seek to examine that? Because it was already mentioned, as we think about cattle in a more confined environment, we can more easily measure the methane there, things like head boxes or rooms, chambers where that methane production can be measured. How will this occur in a grazing type scenario?
There is equipment available that allows us to capture methane on animals that are grazing. And some of that equipment actually baits the animals, if you will, using supplement to come to a feeder. And while they get that supplement, then is able to quantify methane through their eructation and respiration when they're getting that supplement. Again, it's not inexpensive work to do, but there are opportunities and equipment that allow us to do that. I think with respect to the microbiome, it is challenging because it requires routine sampling of those animals when they're having methane collected. And I think it's important, as you suggested, to note that cows are going to experience a lot of different environments in their lifetime. Forage quality is going to vary, certainly across years, but also within a year. So as we think about potentially modulating the microbiome, I think we need to be cognizant of the fact that diversity could be a good thing here because she's going to have to perform in a lot of different environments.
Dr. Spangler, let's shift gears here a bit and now talk about the genetic component because we've alluded to that, but not really dug into it very well. What are some of the things we can understand around genetics of an animal and how that might impact methane production?
So there's a lot of evidence in the scientific literature that suggests methane output from ruminants across species is moderately heritable. So ballpark 20% heritable, which is really not that much different than a lot of traits that cattle producers are familiar with now, be it average daily gain or weaning weight. So there is ample genetic control of the trait, which means we could change it through genetic selection. The challenge is not only quantifying this on enough animals, but also understanding its genetic relationship with traits that we know are economic drivers. We've talked about feed intake. So evidence suggests that there's at least a moderate and positive genetic correlation between feed intake and methane. And I don't think anyone would advocate that we select for animals that eat a whole lot less just to reduce methane. That's not particularly in growing animals something that would be necessarily economically beneficial. So one large effort is to understand the genetic relationship between methane and the cadre of traits, which are profit drivers. And that's an effort that's ongoing to try to understand if we select for methane, what do we expect to happen in all the other traits that are important to us? Because I think it's really important before any kind of genetic selection tool is made available to industry, we fully understand what the consequences of changing methane is.
Yeah, I really appreciated your point there, Dr. Spangler, because I don't know who coined the phrase, but they've said oftentimes the unexpected or unintended consequences of decisions are some of the greatest impacts of those decisions. And so we could start to select for methane reduction and have an unintended consequence in terms of the productivity and ability of those animals to use resources. So this is a complex issue and a lot of different facets to it.
It certainly is. And even at a higher level genetic perspective, we don't really understand yet how breeds differ or the impact of heterosis for methane. So those are also things through the Global Methane Hub project that I mentioned that we plan on quantifying so that as we think about potentially including this trait in our breeding objectives going forward, we need to really understand how we might choose breeds or how we might form crosses, much less how we actually select animals based on tools like EPD. So there's a lot of unknowns, but I think we have a fairly good understanding of what the unknowns are so that we can begin getting some research-based answers for them.
As you start to get engaged more fully in this research project, what are some of the things you're going to be working on, and how will some of this data be collected to begin to move the place from where we are now going forward to better understand methane production by the animal and all the aspects. You've mentioned several things and how they interact with each other.
Yeah, and I think interaction is a really neat part of what we plan to investigate here. We talk some about genetics and about the diet and about microbiome, but those things don't live in isolation, right? They come together to create the methane phenotype or the dry matter intake phenotype that we observe. So part of what we plan to do is actually investigate the interactions among those things. So how does the genetic background of the animal interact with the microbiome of the animal? And we've done similar work for things like average daily gain or dry matter intake. So we have a premise and some background knowledge to jump off into methane. The other thing is we've also considered, well, is it possible with respect to the microbiome to actually modulate or change the microbiome in very young animals? So if you think about a newborn calf, their rumen and their microbiome isn't fully established. So is that an opportunity to seed it with a microbiome that may be favorable for feed efficiency, for methane production? And would that microbiome then persist throughout its life? There have been some pilot projects here at UNL focused on that, and that's something we plan to ramp up and continue. And I think what's really exciting about that is maybe we focus on methane now, but that notion of being able to seed a favorable microbiome can go across traits. I mentioned feed efficiency, but what if we seed a favorable microbiome nasally to confer less susceptibility to things like BRD? Or maybe it's a more favorable ocular microbiome to confer less susceptibility to things like pink eye. So I think the basic science that we learn from this project can be transferred to other things that matter to our beef industry as well.
Matt, I think that's a really great point because I think sometimes we get focused on, well, we're talking about methane production, but the knowledge being gained through the research that's being done has application across many phases and will impact all aspects of the production of beef cattle.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I certainly hope that people listening to this podcast understand that we are generating foundational scientific knowledge that can be transferred across different production questions. And so we're in the early stages with a lot of this, but I think there's a lot of promise to really deploy some emerging technology to help advance the profitability of cattle producers in our state.
Anything else on this topic you'd like to highlight today as we point towards wrapping our conversation up?
I just encourage beef cattle producers to stay in tune with not only the progress of the projects we talked about today, but just the general conversation around methane production and mitigation strategies, because it is an evolving conversation and obviously a lot of unknowns that we plan on researching over the next several years.
Well, I appreciate both of you joining me today. Thanks for your time and your work on this project.
Well, thank you very much, Aaron.
Well, for more information on the topic we discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find more at beef.unl.edu. At the website, there's an article titled Understanding and Mitigating Methane Emissions from Cattle that covers some of the content we discussed today. Also, there is a website focused on this. It's under the Research Cattle Methane Project. If you'd like to find more as the project continues in its development, you can find out more there.